Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes. Schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders. Send invoices and more. All in one secure, affordable, and easy to use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Welcome to the Therapist Connect podcast, a podcast for therapists by therapists.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Therapist Connect podcast. My name is Dr. Peter Blundell, and today I'm delighted to be interviewing Maria Sorokopoud. Maria is a transactional analyst and therapist living and working in Ukraine. A big thank you to all of our listeners. The podcast has been going for 3 years now. If you'd like to find additional ways to support the podcast, then please leave a review on one of your favorite podcast platforms. We hope you enjoy this episode. Oh. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
It's lovely to meet you too. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's pouring down in rain here, but apart from that, I'm all right.
Same, but we have sleet.
Oh.
Not exactly the pleasant thing.
Messy.
messy and cold and like it at all.
Not good. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming to do this. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for inviting me. That's a really interesting experience, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, to talk about, well, therapy and therapy in Ukraine is a thing right now.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I suppose that was on my mind when I kind of saw you appear on Twitter, and I thought it'd be an interesting perspective to have and to hear a little bit about it. So thank you, appreciate it.
It's a great community and really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
It's good to connect this way and good to connect to different modalities of therapy.
Well, that was one of the things that's interesting, because I'm a person-centered approach, but obviously being part of this, I've been just involved with so many different therapists from so many different backgrounds and approaches that I feel like I learn a lot from Twitter. Now, working in education, I feel like I shouldn't say that.
Well, this is how we learn these days.
Absolutely. But I think people share so many different perspectives and so many ideas and things like that. I think it's hard not to learn by being on it, I think, really. So so I love it. I probably spent a bit more, had too much time on it, really, than I should do.
Same.
Who trained as a therapist in Ukraine anyway and are now also being trained in the UK? Or have you just become trained in the UK?
No, I've been, I've done my four-year course for TA in Ukraine with the Ukrainian trainer. And then I decided to broaden my horizon in a way, because I come from medical field. Originally, I'm a doctor. Mm-hmm. I used to be a GP, then I got certified in cardio, then gastroenterology, and then I burned out. reached that point because I was working for budget hospital, and I was also writing my dissertation. A bit of a sad story. My chief editor died for the dissertation. Oh. Yeah, and it was kind of a breaking point. So I took a lot of time off, to be honest. I took almost 8 years. And then slowly, I started coming back. First, I tried coaching. I'm like, no, not enough for me. So just up my game. Plus, I was in therapy with the specialist, and I like the modality. It's really, I like the diversity of it. I enjoy and appreciate the many theories that it has and many points of view. You can twist and turn the problem or the issue or the request, and you can actually try different things, but at the same time, it will be one thing. That's what I appreciate about TE.
I mean, it's That's really interesting to hear you say that. So obviously I'm a person-centered therapist, but my partner is just starting down the journey of transactional analysis and has been on training. So we're having these interesting discussions about, well, this is what it would be in person-centered ways. This is how it looks through a transactional analysis lens. So yeah, so it's interesting to hear your experience of it and what that looks like. What kind of drew you to being a therapist in the first place then? Was there anything that
clicked? I don't think it was one thing.
No.
I do enjoy working with people, and I do enjoy seeing someone grow in a way. Plus I do enjoy the academic part of it.
Mm.
Which is why I appreciate TA, because it's quite academic.
Yeah.
And you can interlink it with medical field. You can interlink it with psychiatry. This is what I do. I kind of integrate those two together, and it works for me.
So was that important to you, I suppose? Is it part of your previous profession, that you were able to interlink those kind of two things together? Yeah.
It gives me space. It gives me an opportunity to use medical knowledge without overstepping. In here we have a little bit different system. Therapists cannot prescribe medications, so that's no, or you can get licensed and do it's more of the medical clinical therapy, but that's when you work at the hospital, then you have a right to. So it's a little bit different. I don't want to go down that road. I prefer what I do, the private practice, keeping it simple, staying kind of, I know my clients.
Yeah.
I know my clients, and I know what I'm capable of working with and what I'm not capable of working with. And my knowledge in medical field and in psychiatry gives me that, knowing my boundaries, knowing my knowledge. So that's how I mix it.
That's really interesting. So you mentioned that you're in private practice then. Is that, have you always been in private practice since you qualified, or have you worked in different places as part of your career?
All of my career was in private practice, except when I was in hospital, because I was also trained in psychiatry in a hospital, in actual ward. My training was a little bit weird. I was assigned to a department, I don't remember the name in English, where people go when involuntary confinement. Geez.
Yeah. Okay.
That one. So okay. I was working there. So, yeah.
Okay. So I imagine that must have been quite challenging then.
Oh, yeah. It was challenging, but it was also the thing that you learn that there are patients and clients that you have to be really careful with, and you have to know. This is why I appreciate medical background, because I will in time know when it's too dangerous for me, because private practice is private practice. You have to look after yourself. And considering, well, medical field in Ukraine is a little bit twitchy right now, considering war and everything. We did have a restructuring of psychiatric hospitals, and some people who need psychiatric help cannot get it. Yeah. Hence, they go to psychotherapists. And I mean, I'm incapable of helping those clients. It's just a waste of time for them and waste of resources. So this helps. This helps a lot, to be honest.
Yeah. It sounds really, really challenging. So, I mean, you mentioned a little bit there, but you're based, obviously, and you're working in Ukraine at the moment. Can you tell us a little bit what that's like? Then?
Interesting. It's challenging. And I've been here since the beginning of war. I didn't leave. And that added a grit to my work. Let's put it this way. It was a time of learning and relearning and identifying one thing. Nobody taught you how to work during war. No one taught me how to work during bombing, how to hold the space for the client when they're in more dangerous zone, when you're in danger, when you have the bombing and you have to calm down your nervous system and go to work. it's an experience. When all this will be over, I'm pretty sure I will be ready to write a book or at least an article about it. For now, it's an ongoing process still. There's still some changes. There's still developments, and the war is going on. We cannot put the dot and say that's it.
I mean, you're still very much living through it right at this moment in time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And plus, Ukraine is pretty much split up into different areas right now. Some are occupied. Some people are just recovering after occupation because their territory was freed. Some cities are being bombed. Power cuts. I mean, just today I read it was over 5 million people lost their jobs. So there's also financial crisis, and we do have supplies, which is really good because we had a period in Kiev. It's a capital. And just imagine for 1 second being in London and seeing empty shelves in shops, in food stores. That would have shocked anyone. I was shocked. So for 2 weeks, we had problems with food. Afterwards, it kind of got better. But all of those things, all of those changes do affect people. And how do you deal with them? I mean, therapy does help. But at the same time, I had to embrace the fact that finances and problems like this do affect people more than their emotional problems. So first we deal with this, then we deal with psychological aspects.
And all those practical things will impact on people's psychological state and how they're feeling and dealing with everything. I was also just thinking then about how what you're talking about there in terms of everyone around you is going through that, but also you're also going through that as well at the same time, and trying to kind of manage those two things whilst being a psychotherapist, I imagine is really difficult.
It's basically stitching up your reality pretty much every single day. On one hand, you have bombing. On another hand, you have your exams, your practice, your education, and kind of putting this all together. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a huge challenge, to be honest. And sometimes I just have to bring myself back and say, hey, you have a life. Look at this direction. Yes, this is horrible, but at the same time, look at this, you know, kind of turning your own head towards something better. It's, in a way, it's giving up on hope. The war is not going to end like this. Even if it will, the action will end, we will still have consequences. We will still have to rebuild, make opportunities for people to work, to come back to something. A lot of things will have to be done. And at the same time, it's building that hope that after this, there will be something else. So it's kind of one hope, forget about it, new hope. Pretty much on the daily basis.
Kind of waiting for it to stop. And what's coming after that, but in the moment while it's carrying on, actually, you know, there is no hope for it stopping. There is no end point that you can see in front of you.
Yeah. It's not guaranteed. And at the same time, already in Kiev, I mean, I live in the area, 10 kilometers. Have you heard about Bucha? Yeah, that's the area. It's 11 kilometers away from me. People from that area after occupation came to Kiev. Walking in my area where my apartment is, there's so many people who are still having visible consequences of that. I mean, you go to a shop, you hear people talk about it, trying to process it somehow. And it's kind of all around you. So, yeah. That's the picture right now.
And something that a whole community or country even is trying to process as it's happening.
Exactly. And I don't think anyone is built to process this thing. It's there are too many. Plus, the news, this war is something else, considering the fact that it's being reported on a daily basis, hourly. We get reports from all the areas. We get reports about bombings. We get reports about massacres. We get reports from someone attacking, someone fighting back, what's happening on all the fronts. There's too much information. There's too much stimuli. So I had to figure out my schedule when I checked the news. Otherwise, it was kind of like, it's too much. I cannot deal with this. And you have to build this weird structure to continue.
Finding a way through it with everything going on to try and make sure that you're okay in all of that and that it doesn't overwhelm you in terms of
your situation. Yeah, and sometimes you have to admit. Sometimes you have to admit, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I want to cry. I want to break down. I want to sob. I want someone to cuddle me or something like this. Sometimes you need those moments when you just give up for at least 10 minutes and then continue. Yeah, it's a heavy subject.
It is, Maria, but I really appreciate you coming along and talking about it and giving people the opportunity to kind of hear what that's like from your perspective, because I think it's important that people know really that it is still very much an ongoing situation and the impact that it's kind of having on people at this moment in time.
Yes. At the same time, it's really peculiar to watch people who are from outside, how they process it, because you feel so powerless. Being here, I have more power. I can do something. At least I can run to shelter and hide from bombs. That's already doing something. I can tweet about it, I don't know. Or call a friend and say, hey, this is a disaster, blah, blah, blah. You just vent about it. That helps. But when you're from outside and you're looking at this, it's like, oh my God, this horrible thing is happening right here in Europe. No one would have predicted something like this, and yet it happened. This shatters the safety completely. It is a difficult thing. Plus, I hear that a lot of refugees who moved, it's harder for them to process because of this, because they're outside and they can't do anything about it.
From the outside looking in, I was wondering, how connected do you feel to kind of the more external world outside of Ukraine and kind of other communities?
I am blessed. I am blessed and lucky, and I guess I'm a really lucky person because I have two supervision groups based in UK. I have friends. I'm not originally from Ukraine. I grew up in Turkey, in Istanbul. And I also have schoolmates from outside. So I'm well connected. And I have people who are not in the situation to whom I can talk to. So I'm good with this. This is one of those things when you realize that in order to process, you do need support and help. It's embracing that vulnerability to the max. But it's challenging for them.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm glad that you've got these different avenues of support. I suppose that leads me to wonder, is there a kind of therapy community within Ukraine? Or I suppose there might have been, and maybe that's shifted now since the war.
There are quite a few. My TA community that I was a part of is quite shattered at the moment. And at the same time, to be honest, we have a little bit different value system when it comes to work and practice and the legalities and laws. In Ukraine, we're still developing the legal system for therapeutic work, which is why I appreciate UK system. It gives you solid margins and quite clear rules and regulations. While in here, we don't have that yet. it's still an ongoing process. And considering war, of course, it's that process is pretty much gone. So, yeah.
That's really interesting. So was that one of the things that drew you to kind of also train in the UK as well?
I really appreciate the system. And plus, in Ukraine, the organization is, what, 10 years old? So it's pretty young. There's still a lot of development, still a lot of clashes. I mean, as in any young organization.
I mean, 10 years in the history of things is not a long time at all, is it? You know, exactly. To kind of get established. So I'm sure it's kind of going through that initial growth phase finding its way. Yeah. That's really interesting. I was going to ask you, I suppose, more broadly about the counselling and psychotherapy professions. I was wondering what you think is the biggest challenge for it right now, either in Ukraine or kind of broader in, you know, worldwide, whichever.
Mm. I think we are challenged by external crises. Mm. I mean, we cannot ignore global warming. We cannot ignore what's happening with financial markets. We cannot ignore what's happening with war. And this kind of breaks the safety and the idea that it's okay. The world is not a dangerous place. At the moment, it's not. It is a dangerous place. And when I think us as psychotherapists, we do hold on to those pillars of safety, of security, good legal systems, etc., etc. When you don't have that, or that is being broken or shattered, I think this shifts. And us as therapists have to acknowledge that this problem exists and we cannot ignore it. So those shifts, it's what I see. I guess that's why those Therapist Connect is so popular, because it gives you that ground, a community you can hold on to, which is brilliant.
I mean, I think that's really important. I was speaking to somebody else about this today. It's kind of like, who are we as psychotherapists without the psychotherapy hour? You know, who are we beyond that, really? I think that's a really important point. There's so many issues which can't be resolved through that process. And we suppose we all have a duty, don't we, to campaign and be activists in terms of trying to make sure that we make a difference. We have a lot of knowledge and insight around different topics and areas that could be useful for people.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're using the word activist. I do think, well, at least in here, therapeutic community is not about activism. It's more about stay calm, don't get involved, you know, that kind of thing. And personally, I guess that's where my values clash. Kind of like, hang on. No, I disagree. This is not how it works for me. I cannot put a blind eye or ignore something. It just doesn't work. And I guess for me, it's proactive position. Therapeutic work is a little bit more passive, a little calmer, smoother, soothing. But you cannot do it this way in here. You just can't.
So. I mean, that can work in therapy, but there's no reason why we have to be like that.
Yeah. It's outside. yeah.
Exactly.
You can integrate those two together and add up. This is the thing. When we talk about therapists as an identity, we cannot ignore the rest of ourselves. It's just impossible. Otherwise, what? Chop it off? No. It's not going to happen. So
I think that's really interesting. I don't know whether you would agree with this, but I feel like I've seen a shift where I feel like I've seen more therapists become vocal and outspoken around issues than I think I have done in the past. I mean, obviously, I spend a lot of time on Twitter, so maybe that's a consequence of that. But it feels to me that there is more people being activists, more therapists being activists than in the past, I think.
Yeah, outside. No, yeah. Not in here, not yet.
Yeah.
But there's one thing. Twitter gives us freedom, a lot of it. that we didn't exactly have. We didn't, I mean, in here we don't have venues or kind of events where you can actually get vocal. Twitter gives you this freedom. Twitter gives you the platform where you can actually be outspoken. Yes, you can get criticized, and yes, you can get bullied, and yes, things happen. But at the same time, it's the risk that you can take and experience it. Learn, trial and error.
And at least somewhere where people can get their voice out, where they can state whatever they feel or think or care about, you know.
And be heard.
And be heard, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Sometimes ignored.
Yeah.
That happens too.
I feel like we've talked about so many different topics. Have we talked about everything you wanted to talk about today? Or is there anything that we didn't cover?
I think we did cover quite a broad amount. Yeah, and thank you for giving me this space and opportunity to vocalize something what I've been holding back for a while.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. What's next for you? What have you got planned?
Oh, in February, I'm doing a presentation at the conference in Canberra on hate, anger, and war. Yeah, what else am I going to talk about right now? Not exactly about love and compassion and things like this. Not there yet. Actually, I have to say, this whole situation, not just war, but the entire process, it murders your empathy and compassion. It's just, it disappears. You have to rebuild it pretty much on a daily basis, kind of remind yourself, hey, empathy, that thing.
I mean, I can understand why, because I think, you know, the constant kind of grinding down of people and kind of things that you need to deal with on a daily basis. So I feel your warmth and your compassion from speaking to you. So I don't think it's disappeared, Maria, you know. It's still there.
I'm working on it. Thank you.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. And thank you so much again for coming onto the Therapist Connect podcast. Please stay in touch.
Yeah, I will. Thank you. Thank you for this brilliant community. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Maria.
Therapist Connect podcast is sponsored by ISOS Connect. Modernize your private practice without tech overwhelm. Create and store client records and notes, schedule video sessions with automated confirmations and reminders, send invoices and more, all in one secure, affordable, and easy-to-use place. Visit www.isosconnect.com and use code TC30 for 1 month free on any paid plan.
Thank you for listening to the Therapist Connect podcast. Go to www.therapist-connect.com for more discussions and debates.